But this is my last sermon. And that's Italian for, you're right, Mark, you're right. But anyway, I was really struggling with what to say because it's, you know, for basically for Grace Point, it's my last sermon. And so the Lord showed me a new book. And so I seen this book. It said, "Behold the Lamb." And I said, "Wow." And I looked that up in John chapter 1, verse 29. And that's my last sermon. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a hard one to swallow, especially when you think us and them are good and bad, are godly and ungodly. If you live in that kind of concept thinking system, it becomes very, very hard to believe this scripture. Because it's a powerful scripture. But I had a hard time believing it for a long time that Jesus really died on the cross for the world. Even John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not the church, the world. Not just the church, yeah, just the whole world. Same thing with this scripture. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Our Father God, who is love, designed for a life for us of co-participation with Him. He didn't create us to be puppets. While He pulls our strings, moving us here and there. In fact, He ordered the universe. I mean, what the word universe means. It means one song. That's what it means. One song. In such a way that human agreement is necessary for living the abundant life that Jesus gave us. I want to start in Romans chapter 5 today. If you'll turn there with me. Verse 8. It says, "But God." Two favorite words. But God. You don't have to know a lot with God. God takes over, everything changes. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it makes me cry when I think about that. How much He loves us. Chose us long before we chose Him. John 15:16, I didn't choose Him. He chose me. He chose me. Verse 9, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." I don't think sometimes we believe that one either. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more," Paul's two favorite words in this chapter, "having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." What's the reconciliation? We brought back into full relationship with the Father. Full access to the Father at all times. Face to face. You know, the bread we take, it's called in the Old Covenant, when they put that in the tabernacle, it was called the bread of His presence. It was called face to face with God. And we still take that at communion. Amen? And then if you drop down to verse 12, I stopped at 11. There's that word, therefore. You know why it's therefore? Because of what we just read. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Who are we talking about here? Adam. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Let that one turn in your head and churn in your body and your think system. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not the offense, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Who's the many? The world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe the whole world, their sin has been taken away. It's all been taken away. We're the only ones that throw it back on them. We're the only ones who resurrect a defeated devil, because Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. 1 John 3:8, Hebrews 2:14, he was totally defeated and destroyed on the cross. But we got a whole big church all around the whole nation keep resurrecting a defeated devil. He's defeated. I don't give him no place in my head. He has no place. He can't live rent-free in my head. I'm not sin conscious anymore because of John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who took away, what? The sin of the world. That's what he said. In verse 16, well, let's go down to verse 18, because there is another therefore. As through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Church. You know, sometimes I think the church believes more in Adam's sin and judgment than in what Jesus did. Because Jesus did something super abundant. Behold, when they saw him coming, Jesus coming, they said, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's recorded in your Bible. I couldn't even imagine if I was there during that time standing there what it could have meant to me. But here to hear it in our and read it in our Bible, and then yet much of the church struggles with this because they only think the church is saved when all the sin of the whole world is eradicated. Eradicated by one man's finished work on the cross. Didn't Jesus say in John 19:30 when he died, before he took his last breath, he said, it is finished. Is it? I don't know. Looking at what I see in the church today, I don't think many people believe it's finished because they believe they got to still do something. I don't have to do anything. He did it. Like my wife said earlier, you can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And I'm not saying you don't have to be saved. Don't run out of here and say, oh, pastor doesn't believe in salvation. I do. I know my Bible too. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know what it says. I know what it says. But I'm just trying to read to you what the scriptures say to joggle your mind a little bit of what Jesus did. Because I'm talking today about the Lamb of God. Moreover, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, think about that, Selah, grace abounded much more. I see the table. I see that white napkin on that table, honey. I see it. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Apostle Paul writes 2/3 of the New Testament. And you want to know something about this man? We love him in our culture. But when he wrote this and he wrote, did the Bible stuff, they hated him. They wanted to do to him what they did to Jesus. They wanted to crucify him for what he had to say, because it was too much. So Apostle Paul's gospel, and if you ever read about Paul's gospel in 2/3 of the New Covenant, he always says, my gospel. My gospel. Imitate me as I imitate him. My gospel. That's what we need to get to as sons and daughters of God. My gospel. My gospel. So Apostle Paul's gospel presents a different starting point. He starts with our identity in Christ. He doesn't start with us as sinners. He starts with us as who we are in Christ. And he mentions the fall, only to highlight that Jesus completely undid everything Adam did, emphasizing our origin in Christ before the foundation or the fall of the world. Before. I don't know about you, that makes me laugh, because we can't believe it. You know, people, do you ever notice when you say something that's really strong, they all start laughing? They do, because they can't believe it. It's a natural response of man. And Apostle Paul clearly understood that Jesus Christ's life is our new life and true life all along. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, some of you know this by heart because I do, but I still wrote it down so I could read it to you. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. Whew. And this could also be said this way. This is what I call a divine exchange. Jesus, who knew no sin, took on our sins and perversions and depressions, and during his crucifixion, he appeared without form, and this was the mystery of God. Jesus was disguised in our distorted image and marred in our iniquities. He took our sorrows and our pain and our shame, and he birthed his righteousness in us. I'm just preaching out of Isaiah 53 in case you're wondering. Jesus took our sins, and we became his innocence. Do you know your identity is innocent? You stand before God totally innocent. Yes, you do. Because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. He did more than you could ever imagine. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Apostle Paul then declares, and I read it earlier, Romans 5:20, which was the same chapter that we just talked about. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded. What's Paul's two favorite words? Much more. Thank you, Mark, for that. I appreciate it. At one time, sin was abounding, but that's no longer the case. Instead, grace now superabounds. Now, I'm going to give you something that this might jar you, because like I said, I got books. I gave a whole bunch to Richard. So if I never need those books. I know where to go. I know his address. I gave a whole bunch of books back there to Jamil. I know his address. I gave some books to my friend in Akron, Jack Irvin. I know his address. So if I ever need my books, I know where they're at. And when you study this out in your parsing books, how many know what a parsing book is? You got to know this if you study Greek. Am I right? Parsing books. Paul employs in this sentence, grace now superabounds, and the word abound. In the parsing guide, Paul employs the aorist indicative verb tense for abound. You don't think I study? Ask my wife. She knows where I'm at when I'm lost. I'm in the book. And this is where you need to hold on to your seat. I tell everybody, sometimes when I'm preaching, it's good to let the oxygen thing drop out of the ceiling when you're on the plane, because you're going to need it for what I'm going to say next. And although not all aorist verbs are time-specific, the inclusion of an indicative mood here signifies a specific time in the past. So this holds equally true for overabounded in reference to grace, which is also in the aorist indicative tense. And thus Paul indicates that sin once abounded, but now grace has now just abounded, not only just abounded, but it's hyperabounded. You ever want to read about hyper grace? I'll tell you who to read. And it's not Michael Brown. I got his book too, and it's not good. It's very condemning and very judgmental. But if you want to really read about hyper grace, you pick up the book Hyper Grace by Paul Ellis. And then you'll find out what I'm talking about right here. Grace has not just abounded, it has hyper abounded. Why is this important? Because these verb tenses do not imply ongoing actions. Rather, they refer to actions that have been completed in the past on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, Adam's choice introduced sin and death into the world, the cosmos, and affected humanity and all creation. Until that specific day and time on Golgotha's hill in 33 AD. And on that day, sin and death were defeated on the cross, and grace superabounded. Jesus is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Stunning for those who have asked Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. You should be swinging from the chandeliers right about now. Richard's looking for the one to grab. Our new life begins in Him, and with Jesus' sacrifice, everything associated with Adam, including sin and death, is eradicated. Oh, the era, the age of time has completely and forever vanished. Apostle Peter then tells us in his writings later, way back in your Bible, that this is transformation. We have been born again, from above through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Some of you might not believe that's true, but I got a scripture for you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, and you he made alive. Why would we need to be alive? Why do we need Jesus? Because we who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive in Christ Jesus. I don't know, man. I could sit there all day and just go. One scripture. And if you need more, you can turn and read Romans 6, because it's all there. And so at this time, this brings us to a pivotal time in this message. Either Jesus Christ is the eternal Lamb who took away the sin of the world, or he's not. And the true biblical reality is, he did. And he did what? Did he deal with your sins? He took them away, past, present, and future. Anything you're going to commit in the future has already been taken care of. I'm out of breath just thinking about it. And read your Bible. It's written in the pages of your Bible. Like I said earlier, pick up your Bible and it'll pick you up every single time. My friend, Pastor Daniel Brown from California. How many know Daniel? Some of you as Fourscore people will know Daniel Brown. He said years ago, people who would come to him with many different kinds of problems. Of course, I've had my share, 41 years. I could write probably 10 books. But he would tell them after hearing them and giving them some godly wisdom to go home and start tonight by reading your Bible every day for 20 minutes. And his advice helped me reduce the number of people that have solved a lot of their problems just by reading their Bibles. Because it's not usually the go-to. Usually we go find somebody else who tickle our ears. Or we go to somebody who gives us some advice, some lofty advice. The counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1 that I read earlier. But we don't really go to the source. Jesus, amen? Apostle John, of course I'm using this word apostle a lot today because it's for a reason. But the Apostle John in chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, it says, and of his fullness we have all received. And what did we receive? It's got to be truth. No. It's not what it says. And of his fullness we have all received, comma. And what did we receive? Grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, verse 7, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, verse 8. But no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And the Word came in the same word used in John 1:14, where it says, the Word became flesh. The words became and came are the same Greek word meaning, I'll really crucify this, and forgive me, Mr. Greek man. It's genomai. Is that close? All right, looks good. Okay. And what the word became and came means is born speaking of origin. The eternal Word was now manifest in the boundaries of time, and he was revealed. Do you know why Jesus came? So that we could see. So that we could see what the Father was like. And the same is true of grace and truth. Grace and truth didn't just show up as an afterthought to Moses' law. Grace and truth were now totally shown for us to see through Jesus, a person who is grace and truth. Jesus. Grace is not a doctrine. It's not a theology. It's not a teaching. It's a person. Jesus. And we're now able to see it with our physical eyes. And a better way to understand this is by these words. Suddenly the invisible, eternal Word takes on a visible form in the incarnation. In a flesh and blood person, Jesus as in a mirror in Christ, and now confirmed in us, the most accurate, tangible exhibit of God's eternal thought finds expression in human life. You know, God is tailor-made for us. He lives in us. The Word became a human being. And when Jesus rose from the dead and sat at the right hand of the Father, he was still a man. Ding! We are his address. All of you, you're his address. In fact, when you leave here today, you're his mobile home. Wherever you go, he goes. When you walk out the door, he goes with you. He don't stay here. He has nothing to do with this building. He's in your heart. He's in you. For he resides in us. He captivated our gaze. And the glory we see through, see there is not a religious replica. No, he's the authentic, begotten Son of the Father. Yeah, the glory we lost in Adam returns in fullness in Jesus Christ. Only grace can communicate truth in such complete context. Got a scripture for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It starts out, who has? You got to understand the who. It's Jesus, just so you know, so you don't have to look it up. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. I'm sure glad about that, Jesus, because I failed a lot of times in trying. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ. In Christ Jesus, and then these three words are in your Bible. These three words are there in your Bible. Before time began. Whew. Before time began. Long before I was saved. Or any of us in this room. And verse 10 says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. And what was the reason for him coming? It says, who has abolish death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When are we going to get the church to believe that we're deathless? When are we going to start believing we're deathless? Huh? When do we start believing it? Written right here in the pick-me-up Bible. It's right here. He abolished death. Why does the church talk about it so much? See, true biblical salvation didn't originate from humanity's failure, but was grounded in God's eternal purpose and unconditional grace before time began. God wasn't caught off. You know, Adam fell. What are we going to do? No. We were found in Christ long before Adam ever fell. Long before. God had a plan bigger than Adam's fall. Bigger. Superabounded. And this redemption was not a backup plan after the fall, but the centerpiece of his original design conceived before creation itself. And what was the plan? Yes, you are correct. The incarnation of Jesus was the plan. God becoming flesh to manifest the extravagant love and glorious attentions he had for us. Three words, before time began. You know how much value you are? You know how much worth you are? That's why God wants you to have a deathless mindset. You know why? Because while you're here, something can change. But when you die, nothing happens. He wants you alive. He wants the whole church to learn to live beyond even 120 years. He wants the church to believe that they can outlive Methuselah. You go look up him in Genesis chapter 11. That boy lived to be 969 years old. We could live farther. We could live longer than that if you believe. I told you, this is my last one. But Christ's appearance unveiled our election in him before the foundation of the world. It wasn't to save us from Adam's fall, but to clearly and plainly disclose God's family, intimacy, and sonship. We had been included before anything was ever created. You were always included before anything ever happened. Before time began. And the incarnation of Jesus Christ sealed and revealed the eternal truth of the Father's love and affection and our cherished place within it. In Christ, we are included in the family tree. So if I had a hat, which I do have one at home, I was supposed to bring it today, but I forgot it again. I have a hat that says Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us. Because we are included. God just didn't want one son, Jesus. He wanted a family of sons and daughters of God. And you see that the gospel of grace was before the foundation of the world. The gospel, or the good news of his grace, has always been an eternal reality. The fall didn't change God's mind about us. We were still who he said we were. We just lost sight of it or forgot. And then Jesus came and jogged our memory. Hey, kids, you know who your father is? Do you know who you are before the creation, before the world? And in the historic event of his incarnation, from his virgin birth to his resurrection, his ascension, and being seated on the throne, the eternal God-man Jesus unveiled what already belonged to us as heirs, though we forgot. Our inheritance wasn't earned, but revealed and freely received. Freely you have been given, freely give. Freely give. And by taking on flesh, Christ didn't bring gifts previously inaccessible, but the disclosure of the treasures that have been ours from the very beginning. He told us about these treasures. And where are these treasures? In earthen vessels. It says it in Corinthians, that we are his treasures in earthen vessels. Us, we're the treasures. Don't be looking for the glory out here. Where's the glory? I got to find the glory out here. No, there ain't the glory. It's the glory. You are the glory of God. You, all of us, we're the glory of God. Oh, my gosh. I hope you can see that. It's so good. I see it. That's why I could hug you and kiss you all the time. I see it. And the incarnation is the full understanding, the full perception of the Father made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, bringing all humanity into the unity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit by becoming the eternal Word made flesh, so that we might share through the Spirit the same divine love and sonship that Jesus himself enjoys with the Father. Whew. Thought I was Jack Hayford for a minute there. That guy, did you ever listen to Jack Hayford preach? And he used to outwin me. I said, when are you going to stop this sentence, Jack? He'd go like for 10 minutes on one sentence. I says, where's the period? And he says, there ain't no period. It's eternal. Malcolm Smith, I mean, who Malcolm is, says it well. He said, the why of creation is that we should be in union with the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and revealed the Father, who is the one Father of us all. How could that be? Behold the Lamb of God. but took away the sin of the world. Not a God set in opposition to us, not a mysterious, unknowable God, not a God who is absent. Jesus revealed a good Father who is love. And Jesus, the only begotten Son, who came out of the heart of the Father to make known to us who the Father was. What is he? Love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4. God is love. He wasn't just a historical man or enlightened prophet. No, as the Nicene Creed declares, he is the very God of the very God. As you can see, I've read a lot. And we were created to be in union with God, even at the physical level. And it's the way God intended us to live. God loves living in you. He loves it. At the end of the day, he wants you to give him a high five and say, "Well done. Well done, my son. My daughter, well done." High five. Our lives are to be lived from an abundance of Zoe life, the God life breathed in us. We were created in Christ to enjoy limitless, complete freedom of knowing and being known by God only as his beloved sons and daughters, set entirely free from the bondage of sin and death. And Jesus, the incarnation of the triunion, not triune, I said triunion God, rescued our awareness and is the beautiful invitation to rejoin the dance of mutual delight and rediscover intimacy within the Godhead that changes how we perceive life evermore. In John 1:29, I'll say it again. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And one of my good friends from South Africa says it this way. On the next day, John saw Jesus approaching him and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one. This is the one who will lift the sin of the cosmos like an anchor from the sea floor. For mankind to sail free." This concludes my last sermon of 41 years of pastoring with the Fourscore Gospel Church in Northeastern Ohio, Lakewood Chapel and Grace Point Church. Amen and amen. Pastor Bev Beidelman will come now.
Pastor Mark and Pastor Mike, Pastor Mike and Sister Marie. Pastor Marie, it's just an honor to be here. I started Foursquare, it's almost 25 years ago in October, and actually I started with Pastor Mike and Sister Marie, and I think we were in the Beck Center. Were you in the Beck Center there? Yeah, we started in the Beck Center, and then after that, I got my appointment in Foursquare. And then I would always come back to visit, and I visited in another church building that you were in down the street, I think. And then finally, God brought you to this one. And they've been a very important part of my life, my Foursquare life. And I could always call him and talk to him, and he'd call, you know, just to give a word of encouragement. And that means a lot. It means a lot. It meant a lot back then, and it still does. Now, I'm retired. I've been retired from active pastor ministry for about 6 years, but I'm doing more than I've ever did. So, Pastor Mike, you might say you're retired, but we're never retired in Christ. Sorry. All kinds of doors open up. I guess people think that you're more available, so they ask you to do more things. And as long as they're God things, it's good, right? If it's things for the kingdom, it's good. So I see you two doing that. And you do a lot already, but you'll be doing a lot more. And it is a bittersweet time. I can tell you that it's a part of you is that part's gone, but then God increases it. And then you see your legacy. You see all the people that you helped and ministered to. And you'll never be forgotten for that. So I want you both to come up front here, and we want to present this commendation to them from the Foursquare Church. It says, the Foursquare Church, with rejoicing and commendation, Reverend Michael Bartolone, and I'm going to put Pastor Marie Bartolone, because when you're a woman, you know a man needs a woman, don't they? Behind them to keep them going. Amen. So Reverend Michael Bartolone, I have my glasses. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish this work of our hands for us. You establish this work of our hand. Psalms 90:17. It says, and they wrote that in the littlest letters, and everything else is big. I'm good now. On behalf of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel and those proclaiming the Foursquare Gospel around the world, the Board of Directors gives thanks to God for Reverend Michael Bartolone for their commitment and faithful service to Lakewood Foursquare Church and Grace Point over the last 40 years. We commend Reverend Michael for the following: the personal example of godliness demonstrated, enriching the lives of many, his effective ministry in discipling individuals, developing leaders, and advancing the gospel, his possessive influence in the local and surrounding communities, ministering with anointing and compassion, his exemplary stewardship, integrity in both spiritual and practical matters, inspiring trust and respect, his legacy of faith leaving a lasting impact on generations to come. We express our sincere appreciation and gratitude to the Reverend Michael Bartolone and Sister Marie on this 30th day of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Randy Remington and is the president of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel, and Adam Davidson is the corporate secretary of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. And I'm going to ask some of our Foursquare pastors to come up, because we want to pray over you and Sister Marie.
Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for the marvelous lives that Pastor Mike and Pastor Marie have led. We thank you, dear God, for their faithfulness. We thank you, dear God, for their sincerity, their integrity, their sweetness, dear God. Pastor Mike speaks of grace, and many of us learned about your grace through him. His grace, the graciousness that he has shown for those, both friend and sometimes who've spoken ill of him, demonstrated that he got the point. And we thank you, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for the sweetness, for their lives that have touched and moved so powerfully in this community and in our lives. We thank you that they were truly difference makers. And we ask you to touch and move powerfully on them. We pray, dear God, a superlative blessing upon them, that they would continue to give birth to men and women who dream things of the kingdom, that they would continue to touch and move powerfully. We pray a blessing over their family, their son and daughter-in-law, and we pray a blessing over their grandchildren. And Father God, we make a special request. May they embrace their great-grandchildren one day. May they play with them, dear God. We pray for health, strength, dear God, and continued ministry. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Pastor Bo here, he was my area pastor, overseer of me for a while too. And Bev, I put her in the church in Cleveland. We had a fight for that, but we got it through. And Pastor Bo is from Toledo. He was my overseer for years as well. Very encouraging, very loving, him and his wife, Heather. So, Fontaine?
This has been truly an honor to know both our dear pastor, apostles, Mike and Marie. They have been so impactful in so many people's lives, and they have helped me personally to stretch and to accept the call of God on my life and ordained me along with Jack Irving in the office of the apostle. The friendship that we have had through the years, being able to just go and pray together, you know, with Carol Engelbert and all of our intercessors, and going out for various holidays to have lunch, brunch, just being there to talk with each other, to pray for each other through the different seasons of our lives. The constant text messages to encourage. Even looking at a little business opportunity and how just sharing about your family. And being able to come to this church and worship and just to be a part of what God has been doing in your lives. This is not over. This is a new season, a new chapter that God is allowing you to walk into. We don't retire. We just go to the next chapter of ministry that God has. Deeper waters. It looked different. It will be different. But it'll be the same God with a great anointing. And you will be one that will continue to impact the lives of many. The two of you as one, walking together with Abba Father. You haven't seen it all yet. Son and your wife, you're a part of this. You haven't seen it all yet. Because their legacy will go in and follow you. You will pick up the baton and you will go deeper and take this gospel of the kingdom into many places of this world because of the mantle that is on their life and will be upon your life. God is going to use you greatly and mightily, and he will answer and honor every prayer that your father and mother have prayed for you and your wife and children. We're speaking future tense because our God looks at the future first and works his way backwards. He sees the future first. We just see now. But I'm prophesying into your life. There's greatness in store for you in the kingdom of God. So continue to hold tightly to his hand. Lean on him when you don't understand. Lean deeper into him when you don't understand. Seek him like you've never sought him before. There's going to be days that you and your dad are going to be able to walk together because he's going to be free now to be able to give you that time to walk together, to train you in that portion of where God is taking you as a man and as a man of God, a son of God. So we thank God for the mother's love. because she's a wonderful mother. She's a blessed mother. She's an anointed mother. And we just thank God for her, how she has poured into all these children, all these kids in this house of God. All of these men and women. The prayers that she has prayed for many, from a mother's heart. Her prayers will not go unanswered. Hallelujah. So I just want to say thank you for how you have served the kingdom, how you have advanced the kingdom. You're a part of my testimony, and I'm going to do a revision. I'm going to be sharing some of that. I remember being on an assignment at the state capitol. And after I finished talking, and there were pastors across the state, and as I finished talking, this bishop runs up to me and he says, "You're an apostle, and God said, now it's time for you to be ordained, and I'm going to ordain you." And I looked at him and I was thinking to myself, "I don't know you." And he gave me his card. We exchanged information, but I was still shunning and I was running. I knew I worked in the office, but wasn't ready to receive the ordination or anything like that. You called me then and you told me, we got a friend coming here to minister, and he's coming in town, and I want to know, can you be here? And I'm like, okay, I'll be there. And as I came, you asked me to do the benediction, and you announced me to the church, Apostle Fontaine is going to do the benediction. I got up with this puzzling look on my face, and you like, you know, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't know you knew. I didn't know you. You came over to me at the end of service, and I was sitting right over there where Pastor Tulsi and them are sitting. And you said, "Have you been ordained yet?" And you said, "I'm going to ordain you in June." And I ran again for 6 months. And then I asked my pastor. I said, "Well, I got to talk to my pastor, who's my covering." I said, "My pastor gives me his blessing. Lord, that's what I'm asking of you, for his blessing." And he did. Three of the ministers from our ministry, pastors, gave me their blessing. And you just took it. The prophetic that is so clear in your life. The gift of laying hands and speaking words of healing. That is not over. It's not over. You may not be here in this particular location, in this church, in this sanctuary, but where God is sending you and everywhere he's sending you, those gifts and anointings go with you. Those callings deeper, and they go with you. Your audience broadens, and he goes with you. He's leading you and guiding you and directing and ordering your steps. So thank you. Thank you both. And thank you for sharing your parents with us. The worship times in here, the segments that was going on here in this sanctuary. Making sure my mother could get up here to be a part of whatever. You're like, I'm like, "Well, we can't do this." I was using any excuse possible. My mother can't get there, and you got steps. She's in a wheelchair. She can't be able to get up there and be a part of that. No, I was using whatever excuse. You're like, "I've got a lift, and we're getting ready to install it." You were cutting them all out, all the excuses, because God has used you to see the giftings and the anointings and the callings into the people of God, and to call them out and to stretch them, to bring them into obedience with the Father. And you two do it so gracefully together. I can't wait to see what he has in store next for you. It's amazing. So I'm honored today to be here, and I could not miss it. So just stretch your arms toward them as we pray again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this man and woman of God and their son and his wife. We thank you for this family, how you have used them and continue to use them and will continue to use them to stretch the kingdom, to advance the kingdom, to bless the body of Christ, to speak life into the body, to breathe over the body, to help carry the body into deeper waters, into deeper depths. Lord, let them know this is not the ending, but it is yet a new beginning in their life. In the chronicles of their life, in their books, the books that are written in heaven. And we thank you for the anointing upon their lives. And we thank you for where you're carrying them. And we thank you for everyone who have been a blessing under the ministries that you've entrusted them over. How you've raised up men and women of God. How you're continuing to speak into their lives. How you're using them to speak into. Lord, there's been multiplication here. They have multiplied in the kingdom. They have encouraged and strengthened many. So, Father, we pray that you will continue to honor them and honor this church, this ministry, and the next leader that will rise up to take this ministry further. Lord, for you have not forgotten Grace Point, this Foursquare ministry. They are in your sight, on your heart, in your mind. You know them. Hold them together, Father God. May they not falter. May they not leave. Lord, let them stand and see what you have in store for them and how you want to take them further, Lord God. Deeper into the waters, deeper into the kingdom, deeper into your word, deeper, Lord God, in bringing in souls. How miracles, signs, and wonders will follow those who continue to believe. May they not look back. May they look forward and thank and praise you for what you are doing, Lord God, on behalf of Pastor Mike and Pastor Marie. Father, we pray, may they stay united as one body in the kingdom. Because we are the church. We individually are the church that you have called together in unity, in a spirit of oneness. May Grace Point not forget it and hold up one another. And hold up the new leader that will come. For this is a new season in Grace Point's life as well. And you will take them further than they've ever imagined. May they be obedient to the call of God upon their lives. And may our leaders, as you are sending them, continue to be obedient upon the call of God on their lives. And may their family hold them up and lift up their arms. And may the body of Christ hold them up and lift up their arms in this new season. Blessings as you go from this place, but not from the sight of God. In Jesus' name. There is food and downstairs, and you are all invited to stay and break bread together and continue this celebration. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. If you're in a group, say amen, amen. Hallelujah.
to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I try with all my might, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. It's just when I ashes in the wind.